everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Thought Cloud podcast. Today's guests are Bob Castellano, Chairman and CEO of 7x24 Exchange International, and Chris Crosby, Founder and CEO of Compass Data Centers. So big welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining me.
Hi.
And today we're here, every year we get together to talk about International Data Center Day, which is coming up in March. So for our listeners, Bob, I know a lot of them are already familiar with International Data Center Day, but some of them probably aren't. So could you just briefly discuss the origin of this event and what 7x24's mission is regarding this year's campaign?
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Thanks for the invitation to the podcast. Look, in 2015, in our conference in 2015, our audience told us that the pipeline for talent in the industry was running dry. And what can 7x24 Exchange do to help with that problem? And since then, we basically have gone out and visited a number of schools, universities around the country. We started a mentoring program. We have a Woman in Mission Critical Operations program. In our spring conferences prior to the pandemic, we have a Data Center 101 session, which we invite university students to attend free of charge, and they attend the entire conference, which is a terrific learning experience for them. And at that session, five industry experts present to them about the data center industry. What happened is in 2019, we realized that, you know, a handful of people can't be going all around the country doing mentoring, the WIMCO program. We realized that the first problem kind of was awareness. The second problem was reach. So with that, in our spring conference in 2019, we had a live stream and talk to our audience about all the pieces I just spoke to you about our history, and then basically turned it around to them 360 and said, we need your help. We cannot do this with a selected amount of people. We need our industry companies to get involved. And so we announced that we created International Data Center Day, which is designed to create awareness of the data center industry and inspire the next generation of talent. So at that meeting, we asked these companies to join us. International Data Center Day is celebrated on a day, but is performed all year long by these companies, you know, going out and presented to schools, giving them data center tours, and basically even bringing them into their organizations and showing them what professionals do. So that's the genesis of it, as well as where we stand today.
That's really awesome. And it's a good use of effort, because I think sometimes, you know, people put a lot of effort into things that aren't necessarily, going to result in as much change as they want. But I definitely do think that more people are learning about the industry. I can tell just by conversations I have in my regular life, people are talking about it more. So definitely, definitely keep it going. And Chris, you're a recognized industry leader. You do a lot of talks at a lot of conferences. People kind of look to you for advice. And because of that, I was wondering if you could give us your insights on the talent shortage that Bob was just mentioning, and how you see this continuing or lessening in the future.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. Thanks, Bob. I remember when Bob first came to me with the idea on International Data Center Day. I couldn't get behind it anymore. It's such a great organization, 7x24, with promoting things. you know, awareness and visibility. So many people, you know, I always use the analogy of my kids. You know, my kids don't care how my iPhone works, whereas if I was their age, I would be taking it apart, trying to figure it out. And that is the generational change that has occurred, you know, during our time in the data center space, where we went, you know, this is a utility now. And the scale that's involved with this being a utility and the skill sets and the changes that means, you know, from the first cloud data center, call it back in 2005, to where we're at today, you know, it's not that long of a time frame. And you look at that and you look at the massive amount of growth, and it just really is a field that has a tremendous amount of a different kind of technology sexiness. That's part of it. And our job is to go out there and show people that, because it's really fascinating. It's a really, really complex industry. There's a lot of intersections of all the different disciplines in engineering and computer science. And it's just a really, really exciting space that I don't think we give it enough credit, you know, just as an industry. I mean, if you look just alone at what the data center industry has done for renewables are nowhere close to the level of advancement that they're at right now without the data center space. And we do a lot of great things. And one of the beautiful parts about where we need to go is to attract people to this space and show them, you know, what this looks like. I think part of that comes into how you educate people around it, because not a lot of people know how things work. And there's not a lot of curiosity. I would put it akin to, you know, when I flip on a light switch, do I really think about what goes on for that light to come on? And the internet has effectively become that for the rest of society.
Yeah, I would agree there. And I think I like the point that you bring up, that there isn't a lot of curiosity. And I think that, I think you're right when you say that, but I also think the curiosity is there, and you just have to find a way to make the person curious, you know? So once you can relate the data center industry to something that they are interested in, then they will want to learn more about it. And you know, I find that, like I said, just in regular conversations, like outside of the industry with people, the way that you say something to them can either make them ask a follow-up question or not, you know? So I think that that's a big part of raising the awareness. And I think that all of you guys are doing a great job with that and trying to find these different aspects of the industry that can bring people in. So, and I love hearing the stories about people and how they ended up in the industry, because it's never really someone who's just like, I love computers and electronics and wires so much that I want to be in a building filled with them. It's always like, you know, I was doing this, and then I learned about this, and then I found this, and then that's how I ended up here. So it's really interesting. But you know, there's a lot of industry organizations that are out there, and all of them are promoting some sort of effort. So what is it about 7x24 specifically that motivated you to become more involved with this group?
I mean, I think it's the level of influence that 7x24 has. The you know, it's the OG organization, and everything is done well. Bob has done a very good job of making sure that the events are to a T. The local chapters are very well run, and you know, I just think the level of access that you get through 7x24 in terms of the companies that come into it to support it, as well as the community that's behind that from a supplier community. You know, it's been a very easy place for me to handle my vendor relationships as we build out billions of dollars of data centers. It's an easy place for me to interact with my colleagues, my peers, my, you know, other folks, my customers as well. And I would just say it's the gold standard as it comes to the industry organizations.
Thank you.
I can't argue much there. I also love working with 7x24. So Bob, I know the International Data Center Day is relatively a new thing. It was October 2019, I believe, that we had the kickoff at the fall conference, but that was sort of like like a special unique year just so that we could do it together with everybody at the conference. And then it switched to March in the years following. So there's not a lot of history for you to go off of before the pandemic, but you know, the pandemic kind of hit right in the middle of this, and just wondering, how has that impacted the way that the industry is celebrating International Data Center Day?
Well, certainly once the pandemic hit, everybody avoided, crowded situations. So on-site events were non-existent for at least a year and a half. I would say none in 2020, and they started to come back as far as on-site in 2021, at the second half of 2021. So the real impact was, doing virtual events and not on-site events. And virtual events are good as a fill-in or backup, but, virtual events sometimes lack the intensity of education and information sharing and networking that gets done when the students are in an on-site kind of situation.
What's the most creative way, or like a couple of creative ways that you heard from people about how they did celebrate during the shutdown?
Well, a number of companies, many of our chapters did a phenomenal job. Many companies did terrific. Companies like CBRE and QTS data centers basically had high school kind of virtual tours for high schoolers, showing them a data center virtually. Neutrality and Bala did a on-site sessions with two high schools in Philadelphia to demonstrate data center careers. You had the Metro New York chapter, who typically has a university challenge, which is on-site, do two of them virtually, and they were extremely successful. This is where students from specific universities in the New Jersey, New York metropolitan area perform some data center project and then demonstrate that project to the members of the Metro New York chapter. And there's a voting system that goes on, and all the schools that participate receive some kind of contribution, and the students are also rewarded in some manner. One of the most unique things, though, if you want to talk about unique, is that the Greater Washington, D.C. chapter, along with the Central Virginia chapter, obtained a resolution from the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors in support of International Data Center Day. We thought that was really terrific.
That is really neat. I love that. My favorite thing are the coloring pages that you guys have on the website. And I don't know how many people use those during the shutdown, but I know a lot of people were coloring. And I know some people are, depending on where you're at or whatever, some people are still kind of in like a semi-isolation stage. So the educational coloring pages, were one of my favorite. But what are some of the challenges that you find with raising awareness and planning events for the industry, both right now because of COVID and just in general for other reasons, like, because there's so many industry events to choose from, or there's not enough time or things like that. What are the main challenges that you find?
Well, first of all, with COVID, the challenges are, coordinating with the schools and, and students as far as, getting them to attend a Zoom or a Microsoft Teams call. So there's a coordination thing that goes on there. It seems like it's much easier for an industry professional to show up at a school and speak to the students, or take a classroom of students out and give them a data center tour. So, that's a little more challenging with respect to COVID. As far as consolidations, you know, obviously you probably heard of the Capre asset purchase that 7x24 Exchange recently made. That will help in the consolidation of the industry, right? So it's a challenge to try to get to everybody, like I spoke to before. This helps, right? It consolidates organizations now to going to less events, and therefore we will have a lot more reach on them if they attend those events that we put together. As far as challenges are also, you know, it's what we what I found out clearly when we started the program, it became obvious pretty early on that even though we targeted university students, that the high school and elementary levels needed to be addressed. And in particular, that elementary level and even their parents, because at a very early age, they are being directed by their parents sometimes into certain careers. And in particular, if it is a young lady, right? They, I spoke at one event, it's called the NIA Community Service Organization. In they serve as Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island boroughs of New York, and they do after school programs. And I spoke to 50 program directors who are in all those schools. And in speaking about all the things I spoke about now, about what our programs are and what we do, one young lady got up and said, gee, I wish I knew about this when I was younger. I didn't think there was a path to get there. And that really stuck with me. It made me realize that at a very young age, they're not understanding our industry. So that is one of the big challenges that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I agree with that there. I actually was just talking to one of my friends about this the other day, how, you know, you go through all of school and then, in high school, it's like people expect you to have a decision on what you're going to college for. You know, I know there are some people who are undecided and I think that's great, but a lot of people put pressure on you to have a major decided. But it's when I was applying for college, I knew about very few jobs. Like they were generic, you know, I knew engineer, I knew teacher, I knew lawyer and doctor and like just, but there's all these other like small but impactful titles, you know, that are part of other industries. And it's just, I never heard of any of them. Nobody talked about them in my classes that were related. I didn't know anybody in real life who was working in them. Or if I did, those people weren't talking about their jobs, you know? So I think that you're definitely onto something there, because even though I love my job in journalism and I've wanted to do it since I was young, maybe I would have changed my mind when I was young if I would have known about some other things. You know, I don't know. I'm not disappointed in my choice, but it's just there's a lot that I didn't know about. So I know that the Power of One is an initiative that you have that could be a great solution to some of these challenges. But are there any other, you know, any other efforts that you can be making at 7x24, other people can be making in the industry to help overcome some of those challenges?
Well, as you know, we announced last year an industry partnership with Data Center Dynamics and Infrastructure Masons and Uptime Institute, all recognized leading organizations in the mission critical industry. And we thought it was very important that all of us participate in, we all recognize the issue of the labor shortage, the need for talent, and all of them are helping in a big way. You know, Uptime Institute came up with a labor report, which is on the International Data Center Day website. iMasons has a scholarship program, which is on the website, and DCD has done a bunch of funding for these initiatives. So that's, we need that. We need the focus to go out to elementary and high school students. So, so as an organization, you know, as we kick back into the on-site mode, we need to maintain where we were, right? Pick up where we left off and really fire on all cylinders, and also, you know, focus it somewhat on the high schools and the elementary schools. And then the other thing I think that we're going to have to take another step forward. I even think with all the companies involved, that the problem of reach, we're still not solving it. And I think what we need to do, you know, with things like we're doing right now, we need to get the media involved. And Mission Critical Magazine has been a terrific supporter of 7x24 exchanges, you know, the and International Data Center Day in particular. So we need, I'm at our next conference, I will be asking the audience that if they have any way of, you know, doing podcasts or local media, local press, right, getting out in magazines and stuff, we're going to ask them to do that, even company media, you know, whatever they may have. I think that's the next step, to try to broaden the reach of the organization.
I like that idea, and I'm interested to see what people do with it. So another issue, though, that we have that I also think sort of has to do with the awareness of the industry and the reach that you have is the digital divide. And so Connected Nation just issued in a report on school connectivity for the 2021 funding year. And the findings show that just over half of the schools meet the FCC's goal of 1 megabyte per second for students. So that's a 25% increase from 2020, which is pretty huge, but that still leaves more than 40% of students without access to reliable internet. Chris, I know that this is like a really, I guess, motivational point for you, and that you're pretty passionate about this at, personally and at Compass Data Center. So can you talk about the negative impacts the digital divide has on the industry and realistically what we can do to remedy it?
Yeah, so, you know, the team at Connected Nation, great group of folks. They're working actively, you know, with the new infrastructure bill that did pass to try to address some of those issues. Being able to get things out there, to think about the amount of kids that tried to do their homework on one of these, because the only connection that they could get was cellular. And, you know, one phone in a house, a bunch of kids, and they're trying to do their homework. It was a huge issue. And, you know, as we went through the pandemic, you know, a lot of my friends and think, oh, this has been great. I've gotten to spend time with my family. I've gotten to do these things, reconnect in these areas. There's a huge portion of the population that it was awful. And there was nothing to be able to do, and the connectedness wasn't there. And we have to recognize that we can, with limited amount of investment, we can make a huge difference in these areas. You know, the way that we can use our old equipment and donate those to school. There's a lot of things that you can do right now to go help. There's a lot of programs in a wide array of cities. You know, this isn't just in the rural communities that have these issues. These are right within the inner cities as well. And so it's a big issue. It's an exacerbating point. You know, we're going to keep that divide going unless we recognize the fact that this is a utility. And just like it was for electricity, there were the people that had it, and God knows the amount, you know, originally what was to be able to read or whatever at night is had a myriad of applications that no one could have imagined at the time, right? And so, you know, this is very similar to that. And getting access to everyone on that front is really core, especially in a wealthy nation. It's such an important thing. And then when you look at some of the innovations that are coming out of our space, you know, things like SpaceX and what's able to be done without a fiber cable, you know, just fascinating technologies that are coming into play that are going to help get the rest of the world onto this utility platform. So while I'm definitely upset about it, I'm very much optimistic in the human spirit of us being able to make big dents in this area.
Yeah, I read a lot about it. So it is really inspiring, as you said, and it's cool. Even, you know, just during the initial shutdown, I read a lot of stories about companies that were just having like mobile Wi-Fi vehicles that were going and sitting in school parking lots so that students could come there and work in the parking lot if they needed to, even though that doesn't sound ideal. But it's like, you know, it's hard to imagine being someone who doesn't have that connectivity and the resources, because we all do. So you just really can't imagine it. Because even if we can think back to before we had it, it wasn't because we were one of the people in the world who didn't have it. It's because everybody didn't have it, you know, when we were young. Sure. So it's not the same thinking about it that way. So for those like small gestures of getting these vehicles out to these parking lots made a big difference for so many people. And then, you know, beyond the awareness and the reach and everything, there are people who know about the industry and who are interested in it. And they go to college and they get a degree and then they have trouble finding a job. So are there areas of opportunity to improve the transition from college graduates and, you know, from graduating from their last semester and then either getting an internship that turns into a job or, you know, finding some data center related position?
Great question. There are a variety of things. And I think, you know, Data Center Day plays a big role in this sort of thing. As we go to different universities and we talk about our industry, you know, the deans or whatever, they're like, wow, that's really neat. I didn't know that that was there, or I didn't know that that was there. I've been a big participant in SMU and establishing a master's degree program there. But in conjunction with that, also bringing in equipment manufacturers and cloud companies and the like into those universities. And then they have research project needs. They want interns. They want those things. Our job as industry is to do something. Don't wait for a big solve, whether this is the digital divide, whether it's sustainability. And this is a beautiful thing that Data Center Day does. We start by doing something and then that builds. And that incremental building by just beginning, go work with your local university. If you're an executive locally, go educate them, go sit down with them and say, here's what we need. Here's what my industry needs. And here's five people that I know that you could contact who may have a need there. But the people that wait on the sidelines waiting for somebody to solve something, you know, we've been blessed with this industry, been in it for a long time now. How do we give that back? And that's the beautiful part about Data Center Day. It's about what you can do with your local schools. The SMU program has become very successful. The first graduate sat on the other side of the table from me running an RFP. How cool was that? And, you know, they didn't have that opportunity and they got their degree and now all of a sudden they were in a senior role on the other side of the table. So really, really neat to see. Just begin is what I like to say to a lot of people. You want to know how you get involved? Just go get started.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think a lot of people just expect like huge results in the beginning and they don't realize that little results over time add up and it's definitely worth it. So speaking about that though, what are you most excited about going into this year's International Data Center Day? I'll ask both of you, but since I'm already talking to you, Chris, we'll start with you.
I think the combination of having, you know, it's always a blessing in disguise, right? Having to do all that stuff virtually, you know, it exercised some muscles that wouldn't have otherwise been there. So now when we can combine the in-person with the virtual, what's that going to be? What's that multiplier effect going to be? And I'm excited about that. I think the reach is going to be more meaningful. I think the ability to be able to show people the in-person things, you know, as opposed to it being 100% virtual, I think those things feed on themselves. And, you know, it also helps with the generational issues because, you know, they're different ages do experience things differently. And so having the ability to do both, I think is going to be a great and impactful element here coming in 2022.
I know you're not talking about this in the same regard, but it sort of just reminds me of this idea of like embodied computing. Have you heard of this, where it's like, you know, not just your two-dimensional experience with the computing, but you're sort of like immersed in it. And, you know, so it kind of, I know that's not what you were talking about, but it just made me think about that. And it's like, you know, just sort of like the future of technology and everything and just the exciting things that are there. So Bob, how about you?
So before I answer that, Amy, let me address two things Chris talked about, which, you know, are very important for International Data Center Day. So number one, we talked about it. The goal is being creating awareness. Chris touched on how little people knew about the data centers. Let me tell you, when I went around to all these universities, Colorado, in California, New York, New Jersey, it was amazing how little they knew about data center careers. And that became the impetus of creating an awareness. The second thing, Compass and Chris have been tremendous supporters of both 7x24 Exchange and International Data Center Day. And when we talk, my talk was mainly talking about elementary, high school, and university students. Chris took the initiative to go to SMU and get them started on a graduate program. That's a whole nother level. So absolutely terrific and very much appreciated. What I'm excited for this year is obviously just what Chris said, back to on-site. You know, let's get everything going. I want to see the focus on the elementary and high school students take off. The power of one, where we're saying to people, it doesn't have to be, you know, in groups. You could go one-on-one with somebody and change, you know, the course of their lives. So it's just really important. And then the recent industry consolidation, I think, will be just beneficial to the industry in that, you know, there's a more focused level of events that people could go to and pick up their education and learn more about International Data Center Day and how they could help in this the solution to this industry issue that we have.
I want to make a point about the graduate program that you were talking about. So before this industry, I was in the HVAC industry. So I'm a little bit of overlap there, but same thing, there's a major labor shortage in HVAC. So a lot of the initiatives that I hear about are, you know, going to elementary schools and middle schools and high schools. And I think there's a huge benefit in getting the awareness out there and the interest started young. But I also think there's this huge opportunity with people who are like in their 30s or 40s, and they've been working and, you know, maybe they didn't even go to college at all. And they're just like working whatever jobs they've had, or maybe they did go to college and they're not using their degree or whatever it is. And I think there's a lot of people where your mindset sort of shifts when you get older. Sometimes there's a lot of things that young people will just blow off. Even if you sit and explain it to them a lot, it's yeah, whatever. I wouldn't like that, you know? And I was like that about some things when I was younger. So, whereas now I'm like, oh, like maybe if I would have just been a little bit like more open-minded or something when I was younger, I would have done that. And like, I'd be really good at it now or whatever it is. So, I think some people are just sick of their jobs. They learned about things, you know, like like I was saying, when I was younger, I didn't know about jobs that are available. But now that I'm older and I see all the jobs that just my friends have, it's like, you're just more educated. And I went the other day to, I'm earning my private pilot's license. So I had to go get a medical clearance to be able to fly. And the nurse who was at the doctor's office was just talking to me and asking me like what I do for work. And, you know, I mentioned that I was in school and she asked what I was studying. I said, cybersecurity. And she said that her friend is 70 years old and just went and got her third master's degree in cybersecurity because she said she's, you know, she wanted to know what it was. Like she wanted to know about the technology that was happening and she's 70. So it's, she probably doesn't have that many working years left, but she's gonna be going and working in the industry. She just graduated. So I think everybody is worth having a conversation with, because I feel like sometimes people think like once you're already in college or something, like it's too late. You know, people change their minds or go back to school or do different things all the time. And I think it's great what you guys are doing. I think the graduate program is awesome. I think we're going to start seeing more of those. And I'm excited to see how everybody celebrates this year. So I have something that is coming out in the next magazine, where I ask people to kind of write in with stories to celebrate International Data Center Day, and we'll see how many we get from that. But, thank you guys for everything that you do. And, thank you for your time today and joining me and talking about this. It was great.
Well, let me thank Chris for Compass's support. A strong support of International Data Center Day. And Amy, thank you and Mission Critical Magazine for hosting this podcast, which will get, you know, the information across to many. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you, Amy. As always, love the magazine. Love what you're producing out there. And Bob, thanks so much for all you do for our industry. It's really amazing to look at the impact that you've made over the years.
Thank you.
And for everybody listening, tune in next time to another episode of the Thought Podcast.